This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on your communication and your leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, which is titled Practice, 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 we're going to be talking about practice. That's exactly what we're going to be talking about on our episode today. This is all coming from a bookmark from Toastmasters that I mentioned in the previous episode, fell out of my Bible the other day, and it was a topic that I had planned a series of episodes on, and I'm finally revisiting after doing a few other ideas instead and had some new inspiration for how I wanted to approach these. And this is the bookmark I'm holding up now for those of you that are watching on YouTube. And there are 10 tips on here, and we are on tip number 2, practice, practice, practice. If you missed our previous episode, the first tip was actually know your material, but we tweaked that to be know thyself, because you are the medium. And now we are practicing. And I think the formula for this is why I love some of these tips and why I hate some of these tips. Practice, practice, practice is a sort of a phrase that we all get used to. And I think it can kind of get lost in thing and just pure repetition, rehearsal, or whatever. And that's really how most people look at it. It's memorization. It's like you're an actor learning lines. It's mechanical. There's repetition of a script, perhaps. And it's just a thing about saying, especially if we're talking about public speaking or speeches in particular, much less phone call scripts, it's like a memorization ritual. We're going to go into this topic. There's some deep insights that I have on here from my background in martial arts. And that also brings me to our word of the day today. It's a unique one, mostly because it's Japanese. So the word of the day today is bunkai. And we will discuss that word and define it for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Okay, we are back, and the word of the day for today is bunkai. Bunkai is a Japanese martial arts term. It means analysis or disassembly, if you're taking it literally. But the way I've always understood it, it was application, the practical application, specifically of kata. Kata are forms, those patterned fight sequences that you would do in martial arts. And you do this with a partner. Bunkai, specifically, you're going to be doing this application with another body. It has relevance to communication training and leadership, of course, because these things are intended to be applied with others, not necessarily an attack or a defense from those others, but certainly has an impact or influence in other people's movements or behaviors. So this is just a perfect example, I feel like, of why real practice matters. And I'm going to make a strong statement here that real practice cannot occur in solitude, not for things that have a benefit for others. Communication training in particular, I will argue you can't do it alone. You can't do it all in private, not exclusively. There will be times of private study and practice, but ultimate practice does require another body. And this is what I want to do, though. First, I want to take that tip, practice, 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 right? And you hear that and you think, like I was saying earlier, repetition, rehearsal, and all these things. We need to tear that down a little bit because it gets so reduced in that. Even when Chris Cloutier and I do some teaching on change management, we have some nice alliterations with the pattern phrases that relate, repeat, refrain, that repeat step and the three keys to change that we teach. Repeat is so good as that third step, and it talks about repetition and new habits, new skills. Just reducing it to repeat, though, would be a bit of a mistake. I want to go into a little story. We're working with a new hire at Autoflow, and I was tasked with generating some scripts to help this person who's going to be helping with phone calls, actually, for Chris's shop. Whenever I have to begin doing a script, part of me dies because I'm one of those trainers. I don't use a lot of scripts. I don't create a lot of scripts. I don't like to create scripts. I have a means of how I do things. I have a way I say things. I have made it mine already. And if I make a script for someone else, I know it's not going to be theirs. I was tasked with writing a script. And what do I do with a script? When I give it to a person, I'll make a script. I'll even use AI to make the script. It's a lot easier to do. Oh, good use of AI. Because step one, if I'm using a script for training, is I'll hand it to someone and I'll explain, this is what it will look like. This is how we imagine phone calls go, and it gives you a clear sense of the objectives. So I'd like you to take this, write your own script, and then submit it back to me. Why would I do that? Well, it's actually a first form of practice, if you will. I've given the formula, the recipe, the idea of what we need to do, and I need the other person to engage it in a meaningful way that they are going to then hope to apply very quickly in actual practice. And this is one of those things. I want to talk about that word for a minute. We used to make jokes in the shop all the time. It's like, how can we never say we're practicing auto repair? I've heard lots of podcasts where this is drawn out, and like you hear people practicing medicine all the time. And we would jest at this idea because the idea of practice seems like, well, you must not be very good at it yet. That's a little scary if you're thinking about it in medicine and surgery. But that is not how the medical establishment considers practice. There's something else deeper here. There's something I want to, and I'm going to keep this tip practice, 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 because it has three times the word is used, but I'm going to think of like P1, P2, P3, practice one, practice two, practice three, because practice one, you're new to a thing. That's not a wrong use of the word. I think at some point in anybody's career, you have to be, and there might be natural talent and lots of things, but you're stepping into discomfort. It might be your first cold call, might be your first time calling an auto repair shop client for all we know, right? All the different things that we have going on, first time standing up in front of a large audience to deliver a speech. Ooh, boy, if you don't have the jitters or you feel vulnerable in that moment, there's something wrong. And vulnerability is one of the key things that I would say is at practice one level, practice one, right? This requires something of others. If you're going to be vulnerable, firstly, requires you being comfortable enough being vulnerable. Who you're being vulnerable with? Is it the clients you're calling or anyone else? Is it the audience you're speaking to? Doesn't matter. It's for others. You can't do this part alone, and you're going to expose your newness as you go into this experience. That's normal, and you're going to get feedback. And I'll keep making this point throughout this episode, I feel like, but like, again, solitude is not where the practice really actually occurs at the first level. You are going to actually have to apply this Bunkai principle. You could get good at katas and go through motions, but until you actually know how it applies, you have not actually, you're not going to advance in martial arts at all, or shouldn't. Practice two, this is where I think some positive feedback has to come into things, or it can be critical feedback, but I would still put that in the positive category because the intention of feedback is always for the development and advancement of a learner. Feedback is very different than criticism. So negative feedback is not to be regarded the same as criticism. Now, I grew up in a martial arts and culture with my dad, and we did that all through my teenage years, and as a young adult, young father, even for majority of my career, even when I was working as a technician, the martial arts training a couple times a week after R&Ring transmissions was bad for the back. Had a good chiropractor, and that was nice. But the Bunkai principle, being able to apply to another body, this is key. To have feedback with the partner that you're working with or your sensei. If you have a sensei who's mean and evil, like if you enjoy watching the Cobra Kai and that's a hilarious show, and you have some pretty evil senseis in there that are really bad and like people are getting kicked in the head really hard. This is not constructive. Great TV. Not really how it's actually done. Positivity is key. These principles that I'm applying to these practice things too, vulnerability on practice level one, positivity, the feedback that you're going to be taking in and then applying to make those corrections, that second level. And practice three is a deeper thing where it's now so consistent. And I didn't invent those words, vulnerability, positivity, and consistency. There was a speaker at, it was with the Institute, their first summit down in Florida. Shasta Nelson was the speaker. She has a book called Friendtimacy. And I haven't read that book, but I was really impressed with that speech because she had this graphic that was on the slide she had. It's a triangle. And basically that all meaningful relationships all require these three things at the base of it. I think it was the base was consistency. And then there's vulnerability and positivity on the different ends of the triangle. For me, it doesn't matter really which part of the triangle is which. The point is you will have vulnerability, positivity, and consistency all part of your practice experience. And that's going to start to make sense to you, I think, hopefully, the way it made sense to me, because the moment I saw that graph, I was like, oh my gosh, that's why Toastmasters is like this great group for me, or it's why I enjoyed the dojo and those workouts. It's like you consistently go on a regular basis to practice with these people who are giving you positive feedback. And the first step, you will feel vulnerable, especially trying something new. And the model is there. Probably in just about anything new that you've done in your life with people that are worth doing things with or for. I am certain of the fact that you will see that pattern is there. Anything meaningful that you improve at substantially is going to have those ingredients. Your best relationships are going to have those ingredients. And let's invert it for just a moment here too, because I feel like practice sometimes is discouraged in auto repair, and we don't practice the way I understand medicine would practice, which is that higher tier of consistently, constantly evolving and bettering. Because what is the culture like? Bob Greenwood, I invoke him all the time. He's got some wonderful episodes here on the podcast app too. Definitely go check those out. His legacy is still there. But one of the things he constantly, constantly drove into me is that you must develop a learning culture in the shop, in the repair facility. And that was such great advice and wisdom. And we had a pretty good learning culture in the shop, not always, at all intervals. We had different times where we thought we had a good learning culture and it really wasn't. And then we had times where, wow, we really embraced training in the depth of education the way it should be. Vulnerability, positivity, consistency. We've talked a little bit about vulnerability before, but that discomfort, I think that's one of those great things once you get used to that. We don't have it in some shops, because if we invert this, that vulnerability, maybe you got crushed. Maybe there's a really critical person who is like 3C communication, like Dale Carnegie would say, condemn, don't ever criticize, complain, or condemn. Once you have vulnerability is no longer possible, you have a guarded personality that can't receive feedback or is truly in effect functioning as though they are perfect or good enough or something, they don't want it in any case. And why that is, you're going to have to dive into that with them in conversation and a true relationship. The true relationship is very, very, very hard to have while vulnerability or guardedness is there. You have to be able to be vulnerable. You have to be able to be humble enough to recognize that feedback is going to benefit you. And that requires you to be around positive people. But the guarded people are probably not around positive people. Positivity is something that'd be lacking once you have that negative experience or criticism, or you feel like you're just not wanted there. Like if you make a mistake, they're looking for you to make a mistake so they can complain about you and try to get rid of you type of a thing. If you feel vulnerable in that way, yeah, you're going to have to try to defend yourself from that stuff. And of course, consistency. I'm going to say this is true for the type of feedback we should do in a shop. It shouldn't be just problem-based feedback like, oh, we encountered this issue. Here's something you're doing wrong. Here's a way to improve it. It requires praise. Everyone who feels like all they ever get is criticism, man, that's frustrating. And sometimes that happens. I've seen that before in martial arts communities where certain individuals have a threshold for this different than others as well. Some senseis are very good about just you put your punch out there and they tweak your arm just a little bit so that it's in the right position. Then they continue the count and they tweak it again. And then they sort of just wander away after a little bit and they continue the count. And there's a subtle nod of the head maybe, but there's not a ton of like, yes, you got it. Way to go. It doesn't always happen that way. And so some people will feel like, I feel like I'm doing it right, but they keep correcting me. Such a common thing. And so many other walks of life too. We do need to remember to say, yes, this is good, but you're going to find that out, especially in Bunkai. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from AutoFlow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, Clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using AutoFlow. With AutoFlow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit AutoFlow.com. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile-first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. Evaluation and feedback. And I will always speak to Toastmasters on this, and Bunkai and martial arts. It's all related to me. This is the same thing and why I thrive in those environments. The first level pathway you do in Toastmasters is you're going to give a speech. My wife just joined Toastmasters, by the way, for my home club, which is actually really exciting. She's really diving in both feet, hasn't done it in the years I've been doing it because she hasn't had time to focus on that stuff. She's getting ready to do her icebreaker. I saw her in our bedroom the other day. She's practicing the speech. It was in the middle of the day, and go in there and like got a piece of paper in front of her, and you can tell she's mouthing, going through the steps of the speech. This is like practice level one, and in isolation because you're not ready to deliver this thing yet in front of the group of people. But that's the next goal. You're going to deliver this in front of your Toastmasters club. Very vulnerable moment when you're new to the process. It's so exciting to see. We all love the icebreakers. I can't wait. But the point I'm making here is like the expectation of getting that feedback. It's a little bit scary at first until you get some positive feedback. And level one pathways, the next speeches that you do, you're going to deliver another speech that you'll create, and they're going to get feedback on it, and you're going to deliver that same speech again with that feedback applied. It's such a great model. And that teaches you then, it's preparing you for a pathway project on being able to evaluate others yourself. So really good cycle of that. But positivity is an element. We don't want to crush people in there. And the consistency is key. So practice level three, right? Practice, practice, practice. You achieve practice three, I believe, when you actually genuinely consider whatever it is that you're doing a topic of sincere interest. It isn't anymore just preparing for a specific speech to go and deliver a specific rehearsed script or some other thing that you do one time, like a performance. This is life, like commitment level stuff. You aren't just getting better at it because I need to do this for my job. A key reason I see a lot of people come into Toastmasters is not just because my boss said I should, but I enjoy this. This is interesting. I'm exploring this now. Not only that, you become a practitioner. It stops being, I need to practice this skill, and becomes, I'm a practitioner. It's identity now. It's a part of you. It's not just an activity that you do. I am a public speaker. I am a martial artist. I am an automotive repair professional. And that's a part of your identity, because this is now not just an activity, or like we were talking about in the other one, tasks. There's purpose behind it and there's meaning behind it at a much deeper level. And this is when you are now practicing communication. You are practicing martial arts. You are practicing medicine. You are practicing automotive repair. It's a lifelong discipline, and it never ends. It is perpetual, passionate study. Martial artists know this. Black belt is really thought of as level one. You stop becoming one of the KU ranks, KYU, KU, and now you are Udansha. And that's, yeah, you can teach some things now at a black belt level, but you're teaching basics when you're a first degree black belt. there's still a lifetime of study. My father, I think he's seventh Dan now, and there's age 65. By the time he gets to the next levels, it's even longer periods of time and whatnot. But from where I've known him, I remember when he became a black belt when I was young, and knowing how his martial arts is now, it's entirely different. The skill is insane. The power that he can generate, the smoothness of the technique, very different than what it would have been at the earlier levels. And it's really impressive, especially seeing that over a lifetime. A lifetime. And it's not something you arrive at because you've rehearsed it enough times. It's lifetime. Lifetime level. And that's, of course, a giving back thing. He teaches. He has a dojo. And at practice three, you no longer are just learning from failures or mishaps or getting feedback and evaluation. You're actually capable of giving constructive feedback now to others. Again, Toastmasters model all over this, all over it. Yeah, I hope you see where I see this. It's not a boring topic to me. This, to me, is like one of the deeper things. Like once you fully grasp this and start doing this in my 20s, even early 30s, I have barely started to scratch at the behind some of these principles. And I feel like I'm only still now getting into some of the deeper meanings of this now in my early 40s. And this is why I plan never to retire. And someday when I'm no longer working in software or auto repair, I will be a teacher, an old teacher in a school. I don't care what subject, probably history though. And that's going to be my sense of purpose on there, because I really do believe that a life lived starting to really dive into those things, you can never stop at that point. You're going to be giving so much back because you've made this a true deep practice. Said a lot on this. I'm going to say there is one problem. It's a measurement problem. As you practice a thing, especially very specifically if you're new to a thing, measuring your progress is very difficult. And this is, again, why I will strongly suggest anything worth doing with others or for others, you cannot practice on your own because you can't see your own progress while you're making it. It's very hard to see that yourself. You will need some affirmation along the way. And one of the most powerful affirmations I get the privilege of doing with some of the people in my hometown and home club is saying, I remember when you first joined and what you're doing now, I hope you understand. Like, I think you're doing amazing. And it's such an amazing thing to see them start to recognize that too. And sometimes they need that nudge. Like, really? You think so? And then they can almost start to see themselves. And what a great spot to find yourself if that's where you are in your facility, your repair facility, your career point right now. Hopefully you can have that influence on others. And hopefully it shouldn't come as a surprise to them if you do give them a compliment, because you're very consistent with positive feedback. But practice in a vacuum is very risky in that regard. You may feel stagnant, stuck. Maybe you're not moving anywhere because you need some more bodies in your life that are going to contribute to those things. Without others, you might just be repeating the same mistakes with more confidence than you had before. You could be getting better at being wrong, and practice just shouldn't happen in solitude. I will say this too. There's a natural talent point that comes into some things. Like, man, it seems like some people just don't need practice. I think it's an abject lie. The amount of times that some people, like keynote speakers, give their talk, they've done those repetitively so times. And I will say this, like Toastmasters has these contests for public speaking. I see some of the things that win some years and they seem to me outright performative. They don't seem like, hey, it was a great speech. There was speaking mechanics applied here and there and all these wonderful things. And it was entertaining or funny and all these things. It felt like a performance. Like I would watch a speech like that, like I would enjoy watching a Broadway production where someone has learned their lines and knows their role and is playing a part. Very different thing. Natural talent, I don't think fully ever really exists. I thought of something as I was preparing this episode. It feels like people with natural talent, they're just on the same road as you. They might have gotten on at a different on-ramp, same highway, and you're all going to be driving for the same amount of time. You just might be in different positions. You may even pass them. You don't know. You might accelerate a little faster than they do. I don't know. You don't know that. Natural talent can be a bit of a frustration, or it should be a frustration to some, because you might start to feel like you're good and get affirmed as good, and then you never develop. It was kind of my story growing up. A lot of people told me I write well or speak well. And then I meet Chris Cloutier and I do a stupid presentation where I never shut up or didn't pause or anything else or give people room to speak. And he suggested I go to Toastmasters where I had some great professionals that give me some great advice. And I'm still learning. I'm working on it. but there's a relationship component to practice. And I hope that that's what you'll get out of this. Your relationship with practice and your relationship with people that you are practicing among. Every time you practice communication, you're also practicing relationships. There's a vulnerability of showing up repeatedly with imperfections visible. The positivity of giving and receiving constructive feedback is something I think you can all learn. The consistency of being a part of a community over time is something I hope everybody will feel. Don't forget that framework, that Shasta Nelson thing. Look up that Frintimacy book if that's an interesting topic to you, and to see the vulnerability, positivity, consistency, all meaningful relationships. We'll have that. Some great material there. It was such a great speech. And that's that. So what practice actually means, it's not rehearsing, it's not a script, it's not practicing until it's perfect. I don't think that's ever possible in anything. It's not memorizing lines, it's not mechanical repetition, it's this. Show up vulnerably to learn the new thing, level one. Receive and apply feedback with positive feedback, level two, and stay consistently curious for a lifetime. That's level three, that's practitioner level. None of it works without other people. Practice is relationship. Relationship is practice. They're the same thing. So next episode, we're going to take tip number three. Probably going to do three and four in the next episode in one episode, because it's know the audience and know the room. And I am looking forward to that topic next. And hey, if you have topics you want to hear about, please reach out to me here at speakup@craigoneill.net. I know my email. O'Neill, O-N-E-I-L-L, two L's. Now, I do want to hear about anything that you think about. And if you've heard the previous episode on, I asked the question, what is your job? I was encouraging you to answer that. Let me know what your answer is. I'd really be curious to hear that. Reach out either on LinkedIn or by the email here and let me know what your answer is. And if we can share some of those answers on air. I would do appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey, whichever on-ramp you are on. And remember to listen up to the other shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Don't forget to check out the app. Download that app for focused episodic learning. Oh boy, it's a good spot for focus. Remarkable Results Radio, Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. Once again, thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you, our listeners, for joining us. Get out there, listen up, speak up, practice, practice, practice.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.